The Bible reading this morning is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them might fear the Lord your God as long as they live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Right, well, half term's over. Some parents might be thinking, thank goodness for that, but there's 6 weeks coming, so watch out. But next half term, nearly every school in the country is going to have a special event. It's sports day. And I well remember being the mum, being dragged onto the sports field to be in the mum's race. Why are some mums so competitive? It's a bit of fun, for crying out loud. But I wonder how many of you have been in a mum or a dad's race. Fortunately, they don't have grandparents' races, or not yet. And if they did, I wouldn't be joining in. Let's have a look at this little film clip, shall we? Thank you. Well, we're thinking about relay races this morning. And we're going to have a few, actually. But will you pray with me, first of all? Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come together. Help us, each one of us, to learn something about how we should run the race of faith. Amen. Now, as I said, we have got a few races this morning, and I would like to invite Ellie and Rod up to the front, because they're going to be the first adult and child who are going to run a race for us. Right, so you're going to run as fast as you can, okay, as well as you can, to the back, to the front, pass the baton over to your dad, he'll run, and then he'll pass it back to you. So if you'd like to go down there so we don't run on steps. Okay, would you like to go down too? She'll pass it down to you. Which side? Are you going to run down that side? Right. Right. Okay, Ellie, on your marks, get set, go! Applause. And we have some energy tablets for you. Thank you so much. Please go and sit down. That's absolutely fantastic. As Christians, we are all, every single one of us, regardless of age or ability, on a relay race. And it's the relay race passing on the baton of our faith. And we are all responsible for that, for passing it on, our faith on, to the next generation. Let's have a look at what the Bible says in Psalm 78. It says this, I will utter things from of old, things we've heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. Now, we're not all parents here. We can't all be parents. However, we are, every single one of us, in the Christian life. And so we're all in this together. Because we're members of a spiritual family. Parents, grandparents, godparents, aunts, uncles, brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all in this together. And we all share in the responsibility of passing on the baton of faith. Now, I was absolutely useless at sports. I was the one when I was in year three, so that's about five, six, something like that. Anyway, I got the certificate, not for coming first, not for coming second, not for coming third, but for trying hard. I know. And I was the one when I was in year seven. This is so embarrassing. I can feel myself blushing now. That in a relay race, I got stuck under the net in the obstacle race. I had a ponytail and hair grips, and my hair grips got stuck in the net, and I couldn't go forwards, and I couldn't go backwards. I was floundering under there until somebody came and rescued me. I was useless at sports day, but I did get the certificate for trying hard. We influence, each one of us here, future generations by living for Christ today. Let me say that again. We influence future generations by living for Christ today. So, what are the spiritual values that we're passing on to the next generation? Let's have a look at scripture again. I love this. Paul writes to Timothy, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, he says, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. You see, a woman named Lois ran the first leg of the race. We don't know how she came to faith, but she obviously ran a good race because she then passed the baton of faith on to her daughter Eunice, who also ran a good race because she then passed the baton of faith on to her son Timothy. So what kind of faith did they pass on? It's sincere faith. So what is sincere faith? Well, the word sincere means heartfelt, profound, deep, what a person really believes. It's not dishonest, it's not hypocritical, and that's what sincere faith is. It's faith that is deep down inside us, it's heartfelt, it's honest, it's what we really believe. It's not faith that's just religion. It's not faith that is club member Christianity. I go to church because that's what I do on Sunday. My friends are there. No, but it's real. Life-giving, life-changing, life-saving faith. And like a runner in third position, Timothy watched his predecessors run the race. And he learned what real faith looked like. So going back to my sports day experiences, I wonder if God was here this morning, would he look at us and would he say to Heather, Heather, here's a certificate for a job well done. Would he say to you, here's a certificate for trying hard, for doing a good job? What kind of pace are we setting for the children and young people around us? Are we giving them a spiritual heads up or a spiritual handicap when they look at us? Because they are looking at us. They are watching us. The people in our community, they're watching us to see how we run that race of faith. Do we really love each other? Or do we judge and criticize and moan and groan? Do we really worship? When our children and young people looking at us singing a song, do they see us singing as if we really believe the words? Or are we bored and disinterested and think, not that one again? Have you ever watched Songs of Praise? I do sometimes watch it. The people in Songs of Praise have been rehearsed. They've been told, don't look at the camera. Open your mouths. Smile a little, but not too much. Just occasionally, a camera zooms in somebody who's zoned out. They are not quite with it anymore. And it's quite amusing. We don't have cameras watching us worship, but we do have our children and young people watching us. Mobile phones, what a joy they are. You don't bring a Bible to church, you can look at it on your phone. But how tempting is it to get the phone out during the service to look at your text messages, Facebook? What do the young people and children think when they see us doing that? Oh, the notices, you don't need to pay attention during the notices. Oh, the prayers, you don't need to pay attention during the prayers. Oh, the talk, oh, that person's always boring, you don't need to listen to them. Our children and our young people are watching us all the time. They need to see in our actions that we mean business with God, that we love him, and that he's important to us. It's been reported that over half the teenagers in this country say they have no role models. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. It's probably a sweeping statement, but we could all be role models to the child, the young person sitting next to us. Every single one of us. So let's live a vibrant faith and let's show them what running the race is like. And now we have the next couple coming to run, and that's Artwell and Angel. Where are you, Artwell and Angel? Come on down. You can start from this side. You know what we're going to do? Yes. Right, Angel, can you take that? But first of all, I'd like to practice passing the baton to each other. Can you pass it to your dad? Quicker than that, and back again. And quicker than that, and back again. And back again, and back again, and back again. You've got to do... That's it. Oh, that's good. That's good. All right, okay. Angel, are you ready? You're going to run down there and back. On your marks, get set, go! Excellent, give them a round of applause. Oh, we'll have some energy tablets. Everybody needs energy tablets. Okay. We're going to watch another bit of a race, please. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's great. Now, I didn't know this until I started practicing this thing, that when you pass the baton over, it's called the handoff. Did you know that? You probably all did, but I didn't. It's called the handoff. And did you notice that when the handoff takes place on a race like that, both the runners are running together at the same time? They don't stop and say, there you are, please carry on the race. It's not like that. They are both running super fast, side by side. One person's looking straight ahead, the other person has got their hand back like that, and they pass the baton on whilst they're running. Now, it takes thousands and thousands of practice handoffs for that to be successful. These athletes have practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. And that's what we have to do, handing over the baton of faith. We have to practice and practice and practice and practice. It isn't case, there you are, you've been baptized, it's all yours now, baby. Or congratulations, you've been confirmed, you're on your own, fella. It's not like that. We have to run alongside them. And we do get a sense of that from our reading this morning. So if you can have a look at the verse from our reading. These commandments I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. This is a doing verse. It's a verse that has action in it. It's an ongoing process. And so I want to say to the parents and godparents, grandparents, and I want to say to the youth workers and those of you that help in Sunday school and with the youth, keep going. Keep going. Sometimes you might think, oh, is it worth it? They're not paying a blind bit of attention. They don't seem to be interested. I must be talking to the wall. Have a deeper, meaningful conversation? I don't think so. Read the Bible? I could be reading some from the cookbook for all the attention that they're paying. But you need to keep going. When I was a child, I never went to church. I was never taught to pray. We never read the Bible. We had one somewhere, but I don't know where it was. I never, ever went to Sunday school. But I had Miss McClare. Now, Miss McClare was my teacher when I was 5 years old. I loved Miss McClare. She was very, very nice. And I can remember as a child going into the playground at break time and running to her, and she put her arms out like this, and she picked me up and she swung me around. I loved Miss McClare. Then when I was 16, I was at a conference, a Christian conference, because I'd become a Christian. And I looked across the hall and I saw someone. And I thought, that's Miss McClare. And I ran up to her and I said, Miss McClare? And what is more worrying, she said, Heather? Make of that what you will. But I put my arms around her and she hugged me and she said, I prayed for every child in my class over the years. God answers prayer. Miss McClare's in heaven now. She was on my team. And I know that when I cross the finishing line, she's going to be one of the people that's going to be standing there and welcoming me. Keep going, parents. Keep going, youth workers. Keep going, Sunday school teachers. Keep going, grandparents. Keep going, church. Our young people need to get used to how the baton feels. Sometimes we have to run alongside them for years and years until they're ready to take hold of that baton for themselves. And now we're coming to our third race. And so, Duncan and Emma. No, not Duncan and Emma, Ben and Emma. Close. That got you worried, didn't it, Duncan? Yeah. Okay. Now, we've had a bit of cheering, but actually it's been a bit pathetic. Don't you think so, Ben? Don't you think their cheering has been pathetic? Yes, okay. So, we're going to really cheer Ben and Emma on this time, every one of us, all right? Let's raise the roof as they run this race. Are you ready, Ben? Are you ready? As fast as you can, on your marks, get set, go. Come on, Ben, come on, you can do it. Faster, faster, faster. Come on, Ben, brilliant. Come on, Emma, put your legs in. Come on, Emma, you can do it. Come on, woo, come on, you're doing brilliant. Come on, Ben, go for it, go for it. Amazing, amazing. Fantastic! Hey! Brilliant. There's some energy tablets for you. Thank you so much. That was unbelievable. You know, I don't know if you notice, when you do a relay race, the guy who passes on the baton, he doesn't pass it on and say to himself, well, that's it, done. I'm going off to the changing rooms now. No! They stand and they cheer each other on. They say, come on, you can do it. You can do it. Let's have a look what the Bible says about running our spiritual race. For you know that we dealt each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. As we seek to pass on the baton of faith, we must cheer. We run alongside them, yes, but we must cheer each other on, encourage each other, comfort each other. We always have a TTT spot, and today we've got another young people who are going to come up at this point in the talk to, now is it on? Fantastic. Thank you. Come on up. There we go. Would you like to tell everybody who you are? Because there are some people here who won't know who you are.
Hi, I'm Sophie and I swim.
Right, wait. I don't think you're on. Try that. Oh, there we go. Say who you are again.
Hi, I'm Sophie.
Right, Sophie. You're, can you hear that? What are they for? They're not chocolate coins, I can tell you that. Go on.
These are my medals for swimming that I've done in recent competitions.
Wow. Now, yeah, amazing. Sophie, how many medals have you got altogether?
I've got 132 medals.
Whoa! That is absolutely phenomenal. Now, obviously, you train hard. How much training do you do?
Well, I normally swim on a Monday morning, a Monday night, a Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday morning, and a Sunday night.
Wow. And that's as well as going to school all day.
Yeah.
That is absolutely phenomenal. Can you tell me, do you always want to do training, or sometimes do you think, oh, I wish I didn't have to do this?
Most of the time I do, but sometimes I don't. But then I also think back to myself, oh yeah, if I don't go, then I'm not going to be able to see my friends and talk to them about swimming and stuff. So when I go, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll get to see my friends and we'll have a laugh, and then I carry on.
Amazing. Can you tell me, are Dad and Mum really supportive of you doing all this?
Yeah, Mum and Dad are amazing. They take me swimming on a morning, so I have to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to take me
what
training.
What time?
4:30.
Half past four? Amazing parents. Wonderful, amazing.
And when I go to competitions, they take me to different places like Luton, Norwich, different places, and they come and support and they timekeep where they're on poolside and they're having to like start people off and time people, which is great.
They are very supportive.
Yeah.
Wow, I feel in awe of you, Sophie, I really do. Is there some way, what would you like us to pray for you about?
I would love for you to pray for me for my health, because recently I've been out of the pool quite a few times because of my ear and my back, and my ears don't are bad, but I do carry on. And also 2 weeks ago I went to Nova, which I got a really fast time of 32.01 in my 50 backstroke, and now I'm going to English Nationals, so I'd like you to pray for me for that.
Let's pray for this athlete here before us this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the skills that you've given Sophie. She is truly amazing. We're in awe of her. Father God, will you bring your healing to her? Heal her ears and her back and give her all the strength that she needs now as she goes into the Nationals, is it again? And she goes into the Nationals. And Heavenly Father, keep her safe and keep her well and keep her and her family safe and well as they're doing all this travelling. Amen. Thank you. If you'd like to just sit down there for me. Give her a round of applause, everybody. That is absolutely phenomenal. Do you cheer when she's racing? Or is there cheering that goes on when they're racing, or do you all sit there in dumb silence and watch?
No, I
embarrassingly loud. Embarrassingly loud, good. He's embarrassingly loud, your dad. You know, they say that you never stop being a parent. No matter how old your children get, they will continue to look to you for support and love, and you will continue to agonize over them as they make bad decisions or some difficult choices. And the truth is the same for all of us here spiritually. We need to be there all the time spiritually for each other. We especially need to be there spiritually for the children and the young people that God puts in our lives. We need to be vibrant and focused and alive in our faith. We need to keep going even when we think no one's paying any attention. And we need to cheer and encourage each other. Why? What's the reward? Right, could I invite our athletes back up? And Sophie, if you'd like to come on up, please. Thank you very much. Now, I haven't got anything as glamorous as Sophie's medals, but you're all going to get a gold medal. Come on up. Come on up. You're all going to get a gold medal. Oh, right. Ellie! Can somebody get Ellie? Somebody get Ellie? Okay, you are going to have a gold medal each and a team cup. So if you'd like to just come and stand along here. A team cup and a gold medal each. Okay, and whilst we're doing that, we'll just wait for Ellie to come. Here she comes. Yeah, super fast. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Woo! That's it, up you come. Okay, while Sophie presents our awards, we're going to look at what the scripture says again. So what does the Bible say about our reward? Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. One of the most famous races in ancient Greece was the athletic festivals near Corinth. And its prize was a pine wreath from the neighboring sacred grove. They trained really hard for 10 months. For 10 minutes intense racing, and all they got was a twist of green leaves that lasted about a week if they were lucky. Oh, and a moment of fame. But our crown for running a faithful race is a crown of everlasting life. Our crown is a crown of glory and a crown of righteousness. That's why it's worth running the race. Our crown will last forever. And we're all in this race. Each one of us. Each one of us running the race of faith. So let's give our athletes one more clap. Woo! Thank you, Sophie. Energy pills for you. You need them. Thank you.